Happy Friday, everybody. The Big Thing Show. It's me, Christian Harloff. I'm here. I'm back. You didn't even know I was gone. Nobody even knew. I did it right. I was it's like incognito. I went on vacation. My first vacation. I don't know how long. But when I came back, because I had seen we were doing the Wolf of Wall Street show. We did that with Bonnie and Kate and Brett. And if you haven't checked it out, you stupid, you should watch it. But if you haven't watched it, you should check it out. It's on the channel. But I was like, I'm going to come back and do a show. We're going to tape one for Friday and get it out there. And it just doesn't work without this character. It just doesn't.
Really doesn't.
It doesn't work without you.
I mean, look, I know what you're trying to do.
What am I doing?
I know what you're trying to put out there in the universe.
What?
No, you're trying to because I saw your tweet about how, like, look, I've done a lot of shows.
Yeah.
I've never had as much fun.
I knew you were
going to
say this.
Never had as much fun as I did with Brett and Bonnie and Kate. And I'm like, well, I guess, you know, I'll show up when he needs a backup because.
I will say one thing to you and you'll understand. Understand immediately.
Yeah.
Because it was at Saturday night and we were drinking.
I was privy to a little bit of the pregame.
Yeah, you were.
Because I called you and those hangers-on were already here.
You like, say it, animals.
I was nervous for you.
Yeah.
And definitely for the show. Like, my theory was that you guys were going to have a great time in here and that broadcast was never going to see the light of day.
Pre-tape. That's the beauty of pre-tape.
Because but did you have to edit?
It was nothing.
We some magic in the
look,
editing.
There room? Was some funny stuff that was said, and there were a couple. Kate was on. Brett was on, was hammered, and Bonnie. You know, it's like so. But it was a lot of fun.
Kate sent me a video of Brett getting an Uber home. I guess I don't know if they wrote.
I don't even know how that happened. I think that Bonnie's fiance drove them. It made no sense to me, but I didn't argue it because I just wanted them out of my house.
You're home. Get out of the house.
I just wanted them to get out.
Yeah, that's the whole thing with entertaining at your own abode is that at some point, first of all, there's two things that really bother me about entertaining people in my place.
What's that?
Is one, you have to be the one eventually to kick them out.
Yeah.
And two is that I can't leave you. Like, right. I love my Irish goodbyes and just not saying goodbye to anybody. Not because I'm a dick, but just because, like, I say goodbye to you, then I got to say everybody. Then it's like, oh no, somebody's dying. It's like, no, I'm just going to sneak out and we'll all live.
No, you have to. Oh, look, especially to be able to talk about that in a second.
Wow. But cut off by the ad already.
Not yet.
Jeez. So you went on vacation.
I did go on vacation.
Undercover.
I didn't want anybody to know about it. Like,
usually people blast out their vacations. It's like, it's worse than birthdays because they're like months ahead of time. Like, hey, guess who's going to Maui?
I didn't need it. I just wanted to go and with the family and we went to, you ever heard of the Solvang, California?
I have. And the thing that I know about it is that I was invited to Solvang once upon a time.
Oh yeah. By a lady friend.
Yes. But not that kind of lady friend.
Oh, okay.
It was Eliza's bachelorette party.
In Solvang?
And I was the boy that was invited. I was representing all of mandom.
Eliza had a bachelorette party in Solvang?
They went up there to hang. I think it was her. Yeah. And
doesn't seem to me like that's a bachelorette party.
And Jody Miller and a couple of other, you know, close friends went up to Solvang.
Just to hang out.
And I was at South by Southwest. And so I was looking at flights. I'm like, I could fly like directly into, I guess I would fly into Monterey, then drive down. And I'm like, this is too much. But Solvang, what I hear is that they have these, there's Danish. Wine tasting everywhere.
Yeah, and it's Danish.
But there's...
It's a Danish, little Danish town.
Okay. So there's...
I'm just telling you.
So there's a lot of white people.
Well, but it's...
I mean, that's when I hear Danish, I think white.
But it's more, dude, the bakery, the food, you can smell...
Yeah.
I had an eclair there. I could have fucked this eclair.
You just turned into Andrew Freed right there. I had an eclair.
Let me tell you.
The universe dealt me an eclair.
When I had this eclair,
I've had many eclairs.
It just stopped. It stopped. And my entire family, I saved a dog before we get into this. I saved a dog's life. This one I knew you'd like. If I told you I saved a person, we'd just move on to the eclair.
No,
so we're walking down the street this place. So for those people who don't know, Solvang's like this, it is legit like these two guys in like 1911 or something found this town.
Hans and Franz.
More or less. And they found this the city in California, but it's like a Danish city, right?
Okay.
It's got like little Danish shops. It's built like it. They got windmills everywhere. But we're walking through. We stayed at this great hotel called the Landsby. I highly recommend it if you're going to go to.
Called the what?
The Landsby.
The Landsby.
It's a really nice
hotel.
Right. So we're getting there,
And as I'm, this little, like, almost like a town right behind this bakery, this little, like, town square, if you will.
It's pretty much like you're in a supersized mini golf course.
It really is. I sent you a picture of it. It's exactly what
it is. That's what it looked like, yeah.
Yeah. And so there's people sitting out in the courtyard, and I hear some lady go, no. And I see this guy skateboarding, mm-hmm. and then this dog is off leash. Like, and, but.
I could go for days.
But no, but not off leash. Not off leash.
Off leash.
But this wasn't done on purpose. Ugh. It was as if I thought that the skateboarder dropped the leash and didn't realize it. Mm-hmm. And there was a lady trying to get, the lady was trying to get the dog. It was her dog, and the dog was like a puppy, right? So the dog takes off and goes into the street, mm-hmm. and cars are, and this is like a busy street, flying. Yeah. For some, my instinct, and I turned into fucking Neo. Right. Yeah. And I'm maneuvering through the cars like this, that, and I step on the leash.
Yeah, good.
And I stop the dog, and the dog looks at me and tries to attack me.
Yeah. Right? And goes, what kind of dog?
I don't know, like a little cocker spaniel type thing, right? And just coming after me like ready, because it was confused. And it didn't know, and it wasn't like it didn't know what was happening. So it looks up and just sees me.
And at this point, you got to take the bite. And you can't get your foot off the leash.
But again, Neo. I don't know how I avoided the cars coming in, and I don't know how the dog's trying to snip at me, and I'm moving my arms, and the woman goes, no, he's saving you. He's saving you. And then I turn around, and the whole courtyard, it's as if we just crushed in Chicago in front of 1,000 people. They stand up, and I didn't even think about it.
Look
at
you.
And it was so stupid. They're like, there's a hero. I go, I'm not a hero. I'm like, I just didn't want the dog
smushed. Did you bow a little bit? You wave?
No, I took my pants down. But other than that, it was it was cool because my daughter was there, you know, like the two,
who, by the way, is campaigning to get a dog.
Well, they both, we all want the dog. Mm-hmm. We all want dogs. It's just a matter of you should be very careful with this conversation, because who do you think is going to be watching the dog when I go on vacation or go to New York?
That's what scares me, because the niece and the nephew up in Seattle are starting to lobby for a dog too.
And going to you.
I literally do not trust anyone, and that's my problem. Now, this was just somebody, you know, their hand slipped and the dog was still on the leash.
Right.
These animals that live by me,
right?
They just open the door. And the dog just, oh, no, it's a dog. It's fine. And it's like in a controlled environment, in a vacuum, maybe I would trust your dog to be smart enough to stay on the grass and not go into the street.
No.
However, I've had to save many dog lives on that street because I see these morons just let their dog out.
Stupid.
How do you get a dog? How do you pay for a dog? How do you pay for the bills and the food and the vet and all that stuff? And you're still too lazy of a sack of shit.
Just hold a leash.
Just hold a leash.
You know who was bad at that? And I hate to call him out on air. You know who was bad with that? Riley. Riley was bad. Not with Cal.
Right.
But he had a pit bull. He used to let that thing off the leash. I said, are you out of your fucking mind?
And again, if that's the only dog on the corner, then it's probably going to be okay. But
it's not okay.
When they see another dog, that's when it elevates even more. Especially if one dog is off the leash and another dog is on the leash, those dogs look at each other like, "Wait a minute, something's different between us. We should fight this out."
Well, yeah, and they would do it. But pit bulls in general, some pit bulls are very well behaved, and to the masters, they listen and they're good.
Right.
This was not one of those.
It was not a John Wick pit bull.
My wife was pregnant with my oldest at the point, and the pit bull jumped on her but was not jumping like, "Hey,
not
pet
playing.
Me," like I'm about to do something stupid, and it's like it scared the hell out of us, and then I was like, "Well," but anyway, so we got this eclair.
So you're a hero. You're celebrating with an eclair.
It was my excuse to celebrate and get. I was telling people about this diet that I've been on and working out.
Yeah.
All the 6 pounds I lost was gained with 3 bites of the eclair.
What's in it? I don't know I've ever had an eclair.
So it's like chocolate layering on the outside, but like this custard on the inside.
Fancy lad donut.
Yes, and they have them, and I haven't had one in a while. I like them, but they put like a little raspberry in this one. I normally don't like it either, but it was really, really good.
I don't mix fruit with pleasure.
I was eating seafood. I was eating everything
Well, you're on vacation. Yeah, you should. Might I point out, most of the time you go on vacation, you're out for a week or maybe even 2 weeks.
Right.
You had a few days.
A few days.
So you really had to cram all that fattening into
3 days.
A few days. And you did, just by looking at you, you did a great job.
I did. It's true.
You're not, you look fine.
That's fine.
You can get it right back.
I just got to get back onto that. I brought the VR with me.
Good.
You know how many times I used it? Not once.
I hope zero.
Not a once.
Good. Leave it at home.
My wife was okay with me ringing that. She's like, no working.
Because you
like,
used the workout excuse.
But no, she said no working. No work.
Well, I'm saying, like, if you could sell her on bringing your VR.
Well, that's the only reason I would bring it, to be honest. Like, it's, I'm not going to play a Star Wars game in the middle of it. But
yeah, I don't know.
But
it's the guy that literally left a party early at Comic-Con to go read a Star Wars book.
I did do that. That's right.
Multiple times.
I did do that. Yeah. That's right.
Just come home, you're already sitting on the can. Hey, how was the party?
That's right. I remember that.
Wedge is about to meet Chewie.
Yeah, Wedge wasn't in that, you dickbag. It's before Wedge.
Language was necessary.
Oh, well, it's been necessary. Especially in the van with me, you, speaking of Riley, me and Riley with the Hunger Monster.
Oh, yeah, that was
the best.
That was the very first Comic-Con and very nearly our last.
Within seconds. You're like, hey, I remember that, your face. Hey, it was that Snickers commercial.
That was probably the first time that Mark Ellis' team therapist really came out.
Yeah, it was. Well, because
to fight the Hunger Monster.
It was like, it made me realize I don't think I had eaten like all day.
I mean, it was the morning, to be fair.
At all.
It was the morning.
Well, how early?
We were staying on the outskirts of Escondido, or we were on some island. We were on Coronado Island.
That was the first one.
I will tell you this, though, because it was not convenient.
It was a nice hotel, wasn't it?
To Comic-Con.
Yeah.
I missed that hotel.
It was a nice hotel.
They had a huge fire pit out there.
It was. I remember that.
And
it was
so
nice.
We survived the day,
right.
And we got back there, and they had, like, IPAs on draft, sitting out there looking at the ocean, and it's like, okay, this actually ain't so bad after all.
It was a good way to experience it for the first time, because you don't know any better.
And you're very appreciative.
Yeah.
Because if you, again, it's like anything in life. It's like if you had to work harder for something initially, you're very appreciative. When you do get to stay at your Hard Rock hotels.
Right.
Or your Hyatts else you are. Not that this hotel wasn't nice, but just the commute. Because you basically are in a van.
Yeah.
And so when we wanted to change and go to the parties, which you love so much, that wasn't an option. So you're just kind of wearing clothes.
And we didn't get invited to any of those parties anyway that year.
No, probably with good reason. Yeah. Imagine how much crap we would have stolen if we actually got invited into a party. You were stealing stuff that was outside the party.
Oh, that's right.
You stole the thing from Hard Rock.
We went to the Hard Rock. It was that night.
I think
right?
I was helping you move.
I found it. Do you remember what it was?
It
was a sign.
It was a sign from Hard Rock, and it wasn't a big sign, but
no,
it was framed.
It's like this big,
and it said like, "What did it say? Like Star Legends?"
It said Legends with an arrow.
Yeah,
and I said, "This is what we should use it in our reviews from now on." And it's like sitting in a box somewhere. I'm telling you that I definitely ran into it. I definitely saw that somewhere.
Yeah,
right now there's a listener who was just like, I fucking put so much work into that. I looked the next day, the Legends thing was gone.
Sorry, but like, if you're
someone
listening
gave
to the show,
it wasn't stolen.
Then you're
gave
a huge fan.
Yeah, someone gave it.
It's so funny though, because I remember you telling me that on the way home. Like, this is gonna be great. And half of me, it's one of the few times we've been going out, and I'm more sober than you.
Yeah.
And we're riding home in this hotel shuttle at like midnight. Yeah. And because if we missed that shuttle,
it was it.
We're
Uber wasn't a thing. Uber wasn't a thing back.
Nope, we're sleeping in the hall H1.
Yeah.
You said it'd be great in our reviews. And I remember half of me is like, should I just kill his dream right now? And the other half of me is like, no.
Let him have it. Because
he'll forget all about this tomorrow.
No, and then that was the start. And then I think that it did show us the difference between when you stay at a place like that, because you don't know any better.
Yep.
Like, oh, this is the way Comic-Con's supposed to be. Yep. It's like you said. And then the next year, we're staying like right on the strip. You're like, oh, my God, this is heaven.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Oh, it's great. And I do miss that. And I did miss that during the pandemic. So hopefully it comes around and get lucky next year.
I am going to San Diego soon, though, and I'll be staying on the strip.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
You got some work out there?
No, just going
on another vacation.
Another vacation.
See, another like 3 day
like
fat.
Like you said, some people take like those 7 days. I split them up.
You take mini vacations.
I take mini vacations, and I'll be doing a couple days in San Diego.
Just to hang there.
We like to go once a year.
Well, give me the dates. Let's do a show.
If you're serious,
did y'all see his eyes? You should be listening to the podcast today.
Do you understand? I can sneak out. I could sneak out on like a Saturday night. You don't think I'd be able to do it? I'd be able to sneak out?
No.
No, probably
not. I think one time in your youth you were able to sneak out, Red Dawn, but I don't think that.
Yeah.
I think your lovely wife is
probably not going to consider.
She's going to know. You're not going to be able to sneak out.
Probably not.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, you know, this whole vacation, the one thing I was bummed when I got back, and as you saw in the title of this video, this is going to be a Black Widow review.
Yeah, and a real one, too.
It will be a real one.
Because I did my work.
You did.
How'd yours go?
Disappointing. And I'll tell you why. This is the thing. I noticed. So I was so excited because they sent out the option, and they go, you can either go, you can see it at in the theater. They had a couple of different options. Mm-hmm. You can see it in the theater, or you can get the streaming link that you can watch it on Disney Plus for like 2 days, right?
For 2 days.
2 days. You have 48 hours. They sent it to me right as I started my vacation, right? And I'm like, all right. So I get back last night, or whenever on Wednesday night. And I go to fire it up on the computer. It had expired around 10 or 15 minutes before I fired it up.
Oh, man.
And I wrote to the rep, and he's like, nah, this Marvel's not, they're not letting it extend. So I was like, well, Mark saw the damn thing. So this is Mark Ellis's review of Black Widow.
Yeah, I missed the screening too. No, would that be great if I did? I had a great time going. This was my first like press screening, you know, because
you went to the theater though.
Went to a theater. Yeah, okay. Went to El Capitan.
Oh wow!
Right on.
Were you nervous?
Boulevard.
You wear the mask anyway.
They did wear a mask. They socially distanced the seating. So mm-hmm. if you came in with somebody, I happened to bump into our friend Thad Williams, and I sat with him. Coy Jandrew joined us. Ken Knapsack was there. Okay. Sabina Graves was there.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Jack McColey was
don't
there.
Don't you bury the lead.
What?
How in the world did anybody get Ken Knapsack to go to a screening of Black
Widow? I do not know. And he was there. He was just there chilling. Solo.
Where's my phone? I have to call him and ask him how. Yeah. I'm going to call him. Review.
Yeah, good. It's nice to have a captive audience here in the studio.
I'm listening.
So, Black Widow is a film that takes place in between the events of Captain America's Civil War and Infinity War.
Right.
And so you have Black Widow, who is on this sort of backstory mission for her, but it's a very personal mission. And so you meet her family, and I put family in quotes because there's a lot of things that gets uncovered during the course of the 2 hour, 15 minute runtime. But I will tell you this. Her and Florence Pugh, Scarlett Johansson and Florence Pugh, dynamite together.
She's so good, Florence Pugh, in
they
general.
They are so much fun.
You believe they're sisters?
Yes.
Yeah.
Their fight scenes against each other and with each other are so good. They're so well choreographed. Kate Sherwin did a great job directing this thing because you also have David Harbour in there.
Right.
And you have Rachel Weisz in there.
Yeah.
And you have...
who underrated is one of the most talented and attractive people in the world.
Rachel Weisz?
Yes.
Yeah. Or David Harbour.
David Harbour. His belly alone is
the
fantastic.
Ultimate dad belly.
Yeah.
The best really dad belly I've ever seen.
It's really good.
And they have a great dynamic. You have a really imposing villainous presence here.
Yeah.
And a lot of it, there's a lot of Russian accents.
Yeah. Good ones, bad ones?
I think they're pretty good.
Okay. But you're not a good judge of that.
Knapsack's last name is Knapsack.
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure he was quite as high on the Russian accent as everybody else was, depending on who it was.
Right.
I think Florence Pugh won the Best Russian Accent Award.
She's really good.
And it was a very, very fun and thrilling adventure. There's not quite as much of that MCU humor that you get because, again, we're talking about a dysfunctional family, and we're talking about a family where it's like any family, even my family, who I consider pretty functional. You have things that have happened in the past, and you don't necessarily talk about it at the dinner table, but if it comes up, you have to address it. So you see both of those things play out in the movie.
Yeah.
And one of the coolest parts about this to me is that it proves that we can inject a really cool solo story anywhere in the MCU timeline, and it doesn't take away from where we're going, and it doesn't really kill the tension because we know where this character ends up.
Right.
It is still a really fun solo adventure.
Well, all right, a couple questions.
Because it doesn't feel solo. It feels like we just have another team.
Well, that's a couple questions I have. The first is that this movie was delayed so many times because of COVID, obviously.
Right.
Do you feel that as far as timeline within the MCU at all?
No, because it does take place. It would have taken place before anyway when it was initially slated to come out. So it doesn't feel dated at all.
Okay.
So maybe for that reason, but it does not feel like a movie that's been sitting on the shelf for a year and a half.
Without any spoilers, do you get rewarded if you, I mean, maybe not because of when it takes place, but do you get rewarded at all for watching any of the TV shows in this one?
As a guy who hasn't finished one of the TV shows, I felt like I was caught up
Okay.
With everything.
Okay.
There's something that gets referenced. It's more of a reference than it is an actual event within the film that I did have to go to my resident expert, Coy, afterwards. So Coy was kind of telling Thad and I, like, on our way out.
How, like, it plays into stuff?
Something, yeah.
Plays into TV shows?
No,
I don't, just in general.
Think so.
Okay, okay.
I don't think so.
All right.
Because the TV shows may have hinted at this too, and I'm such a moron now with comic books. I'm just like, oh, I didn't, you know.
Yeah, so do
I own the Punisher number one. Does that help?
Yeah, when it comes to, like, tying stuff into the comic books, it's for me, yeah, you're going to lose me. But when it comes to...
There is a post-credit scene.
There's a post-credit scene, but what about one or two?
One.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what about...
And it's all the way at the end, I believe. They're talking about... You got to hang in there for the whole credits.
They're saying that this could be the swan song for Scarlett Johansson. Does that seem like the case, or what do you think?
Will say this. If this is the last time we see her as Black Widow, then I would say it's like a John Elway Super Bowl 33 performance.
Good action.
You go out on top.
You had mentioned there's no MCU humor. Not none, but you said that there's less than normal, right?
Not as much.
Does it seem more like Bourne Identity type stuff going on?
There's a lot of Jason Bourne feel in this for multiple reasons, because we're following around a spy, but you're also kind of piecing together your past at the same time.
Right.
But there is a fair amount of humor.
Okay.
And a fair amount of it's generated by Florence Pugh's character, because she's so super serious and she's coming back into this family dynamic just like Black Widow is. And it's just, there's a couple things that are really going to make you smile and make you giggle, and not just like, oh, that's a good joke. But it's like, no, it actually plays into the movie too.
Okay.
Highly recommend. I think it's a great way for people to come back into movie theaters and experiencing the event that is an MCU film, because it's not as high profile as an Avengers full team up thing would be.
Right.
Maybe not even as a Spider-Man, but this is a great way to ingratiate yourself back into the movie going process.
This is why I'm glad they are doing that release at the same time with Disney Plus, though, because I'm not going to the movie theater to watch this right now. I'm just not.
This is why you like that they're doing it on Disney Plus.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is why I like that they're doing this release at the same time.
Yeah.
Because that's what I want. I want to watch it next week, but I'm not going to the theater right now.
You're not going to a theater?
No, not right now. But I think a lot of people
are. Because of the corn. You're worried about the corn wave.
Right now, yes, 100%. It has nothing to do with anything else except the fact that I'm going to wind up getting. By the way, going back to Solvang. I went to Carmel by the Sea for like a night.
Well, I know. You kind of. I didn't know if you wanted to talk about your experience.
We can talk
or
about
not.
That in a little. I do want to stay on topic with certain things, but. The only reason you bring that up with the theater snacks, you know, what's my go-to theater snack?
You have the pretzel nubs with cheese.
They had this giant, massive pretzel in this shop that I went into to get a coffee, and it took every bit of strength not to get this thing. Destroyed this seafood, and I just ate so much, but there was this pretzel staring at me in the face, and I didn't get it, but it just reminded me of that. But
one of the biggest pretzel and cheese, like the biggest size soft pretzel with a big cheese dipping, beer cheese dipping thing I've ever taken down.
Where's that?
Was?
Where?
Tampa, Florida with
what?
Brian Harwath.
Where was that? For which movie?
Came to some show I was doing.
Oh, okay.
You guys see I flew to Tampa to take your brother out to a movie.
Makes sense. Yeah. And you guys go see it. You guys saw a movie? What'd you see?
No, moron.
What?
He came to
there's pretzels at your show?
I was doing.
But there's pretzels at your show?
And then there is the chance that afterwards, Mark might want to go out for a few pops afterwards.
Yeah, but that's so at nighttime.
We went to a bar.
And they had it at
I know
the
you
bar.
Haven't been out at night in a
no,
while.
No, I haven't. They do these
so
things?
So there's these things
there's people
in the outer world where you go out, and they're called taverns.
What, they guys play Twister?
We might have played a little bit of Twister. big size Jenga with the actual blocks that you move around, and they had a great bevy of appetizers. I think it was actually like a German beer hall that we went to. So
that's good.
Good stuff.
So but to that release at the same time, because that way I'm allowed to see it on Friday, next Friday when it comes out, be able to talk about it, do a spoiler review, do all that stuff, and really be able to, you know, like I said, just throw it on the big screen and check it out. But the other thing, the other reason, I'm bummed that HBO Max isn't sticking to this plan that they did where they're releasing things in theater and on HBO Max at the same time next year. I'm bummed that they're not doing that next year.
Yeah, I wonder what the finance team looks like as far. I wonder how they approached that.
I wonder how many subscriptions they got, but the Sopranos prequel.
I did watch the trailer.
Because you've been watching The Sopranos
I've been
lately.
Watching The Sopranos.
So how many episodes did you watch of The Sopranos? How many seasons?
I'm not quite finished with The Sopranos.
What season are you in?
I'm on season 5, I think.
Oh shit. Okay, so you're like you're in it.
I'm in it. I'm locked in and I'm taking my time watching and I'm piecing it together. Yeah, it's not like one of those shows like The Affair where I'm like, I'm really locked in and then I'm just like, I think I'm done.
No, because The Affair lost its thing. The Sopranos don't.
I can take 2 weeks, I can take a month off, watch The Sopranos, and then get right back into it. Sometimes I'll go back and watch the previous episode just to remind myself because it is so
good. You're adorable. You say you can go take a month off. Do you know that when you're watching Sopranos back in the day, you had to take 2 years off before it came back? It was like a year and a half to 2 year wait before you got it.
Yeah, or you just have to wait a week.
No.
Once you're in the season.
Once you're in the season. But you had to wait for like 2 years before a season came out. But dude, that trailer. It is fantastic. His son is so good.
His son, it looks really good.
It looks like
the movie is called The Many Saints of Newark.
Yes, it is.
And I did make the joke that I wish I was like a projectionist at a movie theater because I would cut that film off at 58 minutes and just watch people be like, they did it again.
They did it again. Dude, it looks
so good. And then having like the reveal of Ray Liotta. In prison,
end. So who's Ray Liotta in the movie? Do we know?
I knew it, and I forgot.
Dickie Moltisanti. He's not. That's Dickie Moltisanti was Christopher's father,
right?
And because Junior, you see for like a split second.
Is he an actual Soprano?
Who
Ray Liotta?
I don't know. He's not his dad. His dad is played by Barenthal.
No, I think he might be. I think he might be that guy's dad.
Oh, he might be his grandfather.
Yeah. But either way, because Lorraine Bracco is back in it too, right?
No, she's playing
a different role.
Is she really?
Yeah.
I think
I'm pretty sure that was her as either like the principal or the guidance counselor.
Maybe you're right because it sounded like her. I don't know. I didn't.
Yeah.
But Mira Farmiga playing,
which I love. I wouldn't always like sign up for something like that, like somebody jumping into a different role in this universe. But I think it plays well.
I got to see it. I got to see how it plays out. But she plays.
Vera Farmiga is in it.
Olivia Soprano and
yeah.
I always kind of when I see the nose jobs the fake prosthetic noses but I'll probably get over it. But
who had a prosthetic nose?
Farmiga.
Oh, I didn't.
You didn't even notice. No. All right, fair. But this movie looks. It comes out on my birthday, which is even
October 1st. Yeah,
which is
give me a sec to get it.
I don't care. A birthday doesn't matter. I'm only saying because I used an excuse to get my wife to watch it. The only way I can get her to watch it because that's what I want.
Is she not a Soprano honk? She's never seen it.
Not really, she's so funny. She'd be like, she'll go, oh, I love Goodfellas. I'm like, but I can't watch violence. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about?
Well, but Goodfellas again, it's like you suck it up for 2.5 hours and you get through it. Like Sopranos, it's just like every week, you know, oh, this is something else.
She can't watch Rocky III. She can't watch Rocky III because it's too
pretty violent. It is too. Clubber Lang's pretty intimidating.
Speaking of Rocky,
hey woman.
Speaking of Rocky, I just rewatched Rocky Balboa. Recently.
Yeah,
much better.
I did it sometime during the pandemic.
You're gonna get mad at me.
I know why
you're gonna get mad at me.
You're gonna criticize the HBO boxing angle of it.
Well, yeah, I don't love the
you didn't love the way that they did the fight scene like you're watching it on TV, which I thought was pretty cool.
It just looks a little awkward when it's not as I love the Rocky fights, the 1, 2, 3, 4, the way that they're shot, like. Yeah, they're unrealistic, but it's the realistic thing that they did with Rocky Balboa. I think they could have done more. I didn't love how Larry Merchant and
is it Lampley?
And Lampley, I didn't love how they were like making fun of Rocky beforehand. They wouldn't do that. They were what those two guys are. So the way that
Lampley, I would have to see that again to see all the jokes they're cracking.
They're like
about him, but,
cracking all old jokes on him and saying that this is going to be like I get what Stallone was trying to do with the writing where they were trying to say how he didn't have a shot, but like this was a legend of the ring and those guys for all the matches that they've called
there'd be a little more reverence.
Kellerman was the guy inside of that. It was Kellerman, Lampley, and the calling the match, and Kellerman was the guy who was showing the respect throughout the whole thing. And that was probably the argument, like these guys are going to be taking shots at Rocky, and the Kellerman will be like, watching him as a younger kid, and
you would think that Kellerman would be the one kind of lampooning him.
Well, because it's a new
school, and also because
thing.
Kellerman is first take, and he can have hot takes on things.
He doesn't
and,
though. He's like Rocky Balboa just like said hey to me. He's like, I remember watching these guys' matches. Now I'm calling one of them. I loved that, and I also really loved inside of the, when he walks into to see his son. It's one of the things I hated about Rocky V is that everyone treated him like it was before Rocky I.
Yeah,
and they didn't even treat him like he had just accomplished all this stuff.
Because he had just come off.
He just come off beating Drago. And people were treating him like he was the same guy that never even won a fought Apollo Creed.
Right.
I was, this is stupid.
Right.
But in Rocky Balboa, it made more sense. Like, look, that happens. Boxers and athletes and people lose their money and maybe things happen and then but they don't lose that thing. And you walk through, hey champ. And when he walks in to see his son, everyone's asking for his autograph. They're like, you know, they're taking pictures of him. His son's boss wants to take a picture with Rocky. Uh-huh. I loved all that stuff. Rocky Balboa is so much more pure to the essence of what Rocky was in Rocky One and Rocky Two, and underappreciated. And this is the thing I was going to tell you that you're not going to like.
What?
It's not the boxing. It's a better overall movie than Rocky Four. It's a better movie.
Yeah, but you and I have this debate too. Is that I love Rocky IV more for different reasons than I would enjoy and appreciate Rocky Balboa.
Yeah,
not the least of which is all
like
the training
music videos
montage.
Yeah, you like music videos.
But there is a pretty good montage. And you know what I also love about Rocky Balboa? Two things. One is that the kind of sort of like, not even like love interest necessarily, but just the person who he's
Little Marie.
Adrian's gone. I wonder what it's like to have a conversation with another adult woman.
Just a companion.
Geraldine Hughes.
Is that who plays her?
Is great in the movie. Okay. And she also, before that movie came out, when I was at Wake, she happened to be friends with the theater teacher.
Okay.
And so she flew in to like talk to the class. And it's like, oh, she was like a you know, doing, you know, actress sort of things out here, but didn't have a profile project to the level of Rocky Balboa yet.
Right.
So then, when the Rocky Balboa trailer came out, I remember seeing, and instantly I wrote my old, I was like, hey, that's Jody.
She was great in it.
She's great. Yeah. And that trailer still holds up. Because of what you always reference, though, I still got some stuff in the basement.
In the basement. Yeah.
It's so
good. And Paulie, what basement?
Yeah.
And he's just like, here. Basement.
Think about that a lot before I go to the gym is when Duke is just like, let's put on some hurting pounds.
Yeah. He's like, because he tells him, he's like, you don't have, it takes speed to beat him. You don't have it anymore.
That calcium deposits on most of your fingers.
He's like, this, you don't have it anymore. So what you do have is raw power. And they say it a couple times. The last thing to go on a fighter is his punch.
Let's put on some hurting pounds.
And I'm telling it, I really enjoyed watching that movie again.
Yeah.
It's a really good movie. I treat yourself out there, ladies and gentlemen. If you haven't seen Rocky Balboa in a while, do it. And I'll tell you what else you should do. You should go and check out ExpressVPN. Loving ExpressVPN. We are excited to be working with ExpressVPN because if you use the internet without ExpressVPN, it's like taking a call on a train or a bus on a speaker for everyone to hear. Don't be that person. Why do I need a VPN? Why do I need a VPN? Well, internet service providers, whether it's Comcast or Verizon, they know every single website you visit. Yep, all of them. ISPs can sell this information to ad companies and tech giants who then use your data to target you. Well, why do I need to use it? Well, ExpressVPN creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so people can't peep on your online activity. Fire up the app and click one button. It's rated number one by CNET, Wired, The Verge. It works on your phone. It works on your laptops, even routers. So everyone who shares your Wi-Fi can be protected. So what you have to do is you got to go and you got to check it out. I didn't want that. I hated that. I saw that report. I can't remember what it was on Netflix or that doc or whatever it was. It's like all this information and you're out there. Everything.
The social conundrum?
But it's like everyone's getting your information they can use. And it's like, how do you protect that? Well, ExpressVPN, they can protect it. That was the most important thing to me. Especially with kids and everything. It is very, very important to do it. And if you want to secure your online activity, you do it by visiting expressvpn.com/SEN today. It's pretty easy. EXPRESSVPN.com/SEN. And you can get an extra 3 months free. One more time. That's expressvpn.com/SEN.
A great thing happened that I just noticed.
What?
Well, it's based on the great thing that happened last week, which is Chris Paul and the Phoenix Suns advancing to the NBA Finals.
Right.
For the first time in Chris Paul's career, he gets to play in the NBA Finals. We both went to Wake Forest.
Yes, you could have told me last night that he was still in the Clippers. I'd have no idea, but go ahead.
Yeah, but it was cool that he advanced to the Finals against his old team in that building.
Right.
And the reason why I bring it up is because in that building is LA Clippers superfan Billy Crystal.
Oh, is he a super fan?
He has been a season ticket holder since the early 90s.
How does that happen?
Since,
how
do you, your guy Sam Cassell was playing
for
him.
How do you become a Yankee fan and stay a Clippers fan? And is he not a Knicks fan anymore?
I think it's just like, look, if you go to L.A.,
yeah.
you just, okay, the Lakers are known for Jack and and Diane Cannon and everybody who is trying to pretend like they like sports. And Billy's like, no, you know what? I want to get my courtside tickets. And he's a comedian. You go off. You don't take the obvious joke. You go to the... The Clippers being the obvious joke at the time.
Right.
So he's sitting courtside.
Yeah.
And him and Chris Paul, because Chris used to play here, just like, you know, formed a really good relationship. Yeah. And so it was so cool to see after the game ended, Chris Paul was just like, he's waving to his family and he's like hyping up his teammates and stuff. And then he goes over and he gives Billy Crystal a big hug. Oh,
that's cool.
And it was so cool to see. And so I took a picture of it on my TV and I just tweeted like Chris Paul hugging Billy Crystal makes me really happy. Yeah. And it just sort of took off, and I just noticed one of the people who guess who retweeted it. I just told you Billy Crystal. I gave you a couple valuable pieces of information to solve this mystery.
Yeah,
Billy Crystal.
Yes,
basketball.
All right,
who retweeted that?
Jack Nicholson.
The answer. Are you literally cheating?
No,
looking up on your phone. Hands up. Hands up.
No, I'm not doing hands up.
Four, three.
Oh,
Billy Crystal basketball connection.
Yes. Okay,
George Mirosan.
Oh, did really?
Big George, 7'7", used to play in the NBA, starred with Billy Crystal in the movie My Giant. Yeah. Mirosan saw it.
That's pretty great.
He tweeted it. So.
That's great. Well, look, I'm more happy for Andres Cabrera more than anybody else.
God, he is excited. And
he texted me last night because he wants to do some.
He wants to launch a campaign to get him to the finals.
Yeah. Well, so he had put together this video and he asked me if we could use footage from the Schmodown where he's referenced. Mm-hmm. And I was like, of course you can. I want to see it.
So. Well, him and I were talking like this is back when the Suns were in the previous series. And because, you know, I'm a man about town. Yeah. I'm a jet setting playboy. I'm like, look, man, if they go to the finals, we might have to do something about this. I looked at tickets for the finals.
Let me guess. Cheap tickets. Mm-hmm. Cheap tickets.
Nosebleeds.
$1,500.
About $5,000.
Whoa.
For nosebleeds.
Get out of my life.
So I'm thinking like,
I don't like you that much.
Yeah.
You're a good guy, but
can't do it. No. And so, I just can't do it.
But $10,000 for two tickets in the nosebleeds.
And I'd be flying to Phoenix or driving to Phoenix to go to see it, but it would be pretty magical.
At that point, he better take you on his back.
I mean, I held it off as far as like emotional last night, but like if they do end up winning the finals, that's going to, emotional mark's going to come out.
Why? Because since when you've been a Suns fan?
I'm a Chris Paul fan.
You're a Chris Paul fan.
The Wake Forest connection. And if you look at athletes, like my history with athletes and like watching sports with my old man, there's exactly two athletes that we actively rooted for.
Tim Duncan.
That are still playing. Duncan's no longer playing. They're still playing.
They're still playing.
Chris Paul, and then I give a pass. Hopefully he's healing up to Tiger Woods. So it's Tiger and Chris Paul. Okay. That's it. Now, there's been other athletes like Tom Brady. Obviously, we're still aware of.
Right.
We were never actively rooting for Tom Brady.
Those are the
you just witnessed the greatness. And so that would be a huge, huge thing.
Yeah, it's big. So it's the Milwaukee?
Either Milwaukee, at the time of this taping, either Milwaukee or Atlanta. But Milwaukee's down to Giannis, and Atlanta's down to Trae Young right now. So it's everybody's getting hurt. So
it looks like the Suns are going to win it.
He's getting all the breaks right now.
Right now.
We'll see how it goes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, look, that's fun, and I think that's a fun Billy Crystal story, though, too, for sure.
It's just a great, great, great moment in sports.
Speaking of other great moments, Loki's been crushing it.
Hear good things.
Loki's been doing good. I didn't love. This is the whole point. Is that you did Black Widow? And what did you give Black Widow, by the way, at Schmoes?
Oh man, I'd probably go at least 4 out of 5 Schmoes.
That's big.
I might give it 4.25.
Okay,
4.35.
Now, for you guys watching this, and this will be a spoiler review for Loki episode 4.
I'm still on one. Go ahead.
Yes.
Carry on.
You're not going to remember any of this anyway.
Probably not.
I told you some last time, I didn't love episode 3. Thought it was okay. This definitely adds into, it makes, episode 4 absolutely makes 3 more relevant, more enjoyable.
Did 3 leave with like some, because I remember Steph was pretty much on the same page as you.
So
with
it
3.
Yeah. So, for 3, it just seemed. I'm not going to use the word filler. It didn't seem like filler, but it wasn't the story that bothered me in 3 as much as it was the filming of the episode. It looked a little sci-fi channel cheesy to me.
Ah, okay.
But the story itself of what happens and the bond that the Loki we know forms with female Loki is interesting. And that carries on to this episode. So there's a lot that goes down here. Like I said, you're going to be spoiled tremendously from this.
Have at it.
All right.
I'll be okay.
So you know that you've seen the first episode.
I have.
And once you get hit with one of those batons, it's over. You disappear and you're dead.
Yeah.
Right? Well, they find out that this one security guard that female Loki had been messing with her mind or whatever, they find out that, because what female Loki told Loki was that she found out through memories that everybody was variants. Every single person that works for the TVA, they're not created by the timekeepers. They were people that were part of the timeline that were plucked, memories erased, and they're basically working inside the Matrix.
So it's kind of like Get Out? Where they just like Ish. Find people on the street and they're like, no, you.
You're going to work for us now, and that's what you think that you do. Owen Wilson included, everybody, right?
So, wow.
So when they get back, so they're on this planet that looks like it's about, from episode 3, that's about to be destroyed. It picks back up there in episode 4. The planet's about to collapse. And finally, Owen Wilson and the gang is able to locate where they are and they get them out at the last minute, right? They get out both Lokis and they take them for interrogation. And then I always pronounce her name wrong. But it's Gugu Mbatha-Raw. Is that how you?
Gugu Mbatha-Raw.
Yeah. So I was right? Gugu Mbatha-Raw. I was not wrong.
Yeah.
All right. I always get it wrong.
Yeah, usually, if you're learning something, you repeat. And you were just kind of like, yeah, what he said.
But you were right. It's Gugu Mbatha-Raw. So she's really good in the
she's
show.
She's great.
Yeah. And so she is. You can tell that she's had this fun relationship with Owen Wilson, but you can tell there's something going on, right? She's hiding information. He's starting to catch on to it. Loki tells him, he's like, look, that exact thing, you've been plucked. You know, you're not created by the timekeeper. You are a variant. And Owen Wilson's like, yeah, whatever. Sure. And he discovers that exactly he's right. So Ross sticks him. Owen Wilson's toast. Gone. Kills him. Right,
and few dog owners I'd like to take that baton to.
Takes him out, and Loki's all pissed off about it. And then he winds up reteaming with the girl who winds up the female Loki is pinned up. She's all by herself, and another one of the guards. I can't remember the black woman who is. She was the tough ass that like to kick the crap out of all the people when they first came in, and she's kind of had a beef with Loki for a little bit, but she. She also starts to figure it out. She helps out. She helps out female Loki. She's the one who starts to help them out when they're in front of. They go to the timekeepers. The three timekeepers are there, and they're interrogating both the Lokis at the end of it, and all hell breaks loose. Right, this is before Owen Wilson dies. And it looks like it's about to, like, shit's going to go down.
There's a lot going on in this episode.
My
takeaway so far.
They're all. It looks like the two Lokis want to take out the timekeepers. Turns out the timekeepers aren't even, like, it's like Wizard of Oz stuff. They are mechanical.
It's like Epcot Center?
Yeah. We don't know what they are. We don't know who's running it. But at the very last second, our Loki is talking to female Loki. And then he says something to her. And then, boom, he gets hit with the stick. He's gone. Right? And so she's left with Raw.
Yeah, Gugu Mbatha-Raw.
Yeah, Raw. I think it's pretty tough. Call it Raw.
Yeah,
and as you're like, okay, so I guess she's going to be the one who's kind of running the show now. And there is a post clip. Loki wakes up.
There always a post clip.
No, but there's a post clip. Loki wakes up and he's surrounded by other Lokis, and one of them is Richard E. Wilson.
Richard E. Grant.
Grant. Isaiah Wilson. I'm not gonna pretend that I'm doing a lot of research to these names. And all I know is, hey, there's the guy from the Melissa McCarthy movie. What's that movie called? See, you're doing Rotten Tomato stuff. You've got all this stuff.
Who is Richard Wilson? The lights to come down. Dick Wilson? I don't know who Dick
Wilson
is.
Richard Wilson. I don't know who Richard Wilson is.
I don't know. The guy whose name is on every NFL football.
Yeah, but no. But it's Richard E. Grant.
Yeah.
And Richard E. Grant is wearing the Loki outfit at the end, but it's like old Loki, and I don't know what the hell's happening in this clip. I got it. You know,
that's a cool casting for an old Loki.
It was. I'm going to call Coy because now, because let's see if Coy can give us some. I'm sure everybody out there already knows what the hell's
threatened
going
to call Ken Knapsack. Earlier
I should call. I'm going to call him next. But I'm going
to
call.
No, you should call Ken to ask about Loki. See how
I'm going to call Coy first. Yeah. So Coy's on the air. But this will be interesting. I want to.
Coy's more likely to answer.
Coy's probably going to
answer. Ken would be.
Yeah, but Ken might be on the air, but I'll see. Coy usually, unless Coy's got something.
Coy would answer if he was on the air.
That's true. He does.
See, he's the energy. You hear the positive energy?
Yeah, Coy's always positive. So, Coy, you're on the air right now. We're doing an episode of The Big Thing. We're talking.
My car is not trying to connect.
That's fine.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so you're on the air right now. We're talking. It's me and Mark, and we're talking about Loki.
Yeah.
So, what the hell does that post-credit scene mean? So he shows up and Richard E. Grant, not Richard E. Wilson, by the way, you were wrong about that, but Richard E. Grant.
Don't put this on Coy.
Richard E. Grant and the rest of the, like, old Lokis, different Lokis, where are they? What's going on?
Okay, so basically there's a comic book run called Agents of Asgard, and it involves different Lokis through different concepts. So in Agents of Asgard, Loki willingly dies, so he's reborn as Kid Loki to prove that he's not evil, he's just mischievous. So the Kid Loki in the front is basically trying to prove Loki's self. So this whole show is like a walkabout of proving what one's self is, what one's moral compass is. So the best way to do that is to, in the detective sense, discovering oneself is usually less literal. He's discovering himself by finding himself, in this case a very literal sense. So the last scene is kind of the Into the Spider-Verse of Loki, but as an existential. Different variants represent different choices Loki could have made. And Richard E. Grant is classic Loki. That's his 1962 first appearance outfit, like Jack Kirby outfit. So that'll be your more curmudgeonly, more disassociated from humanity Loki. And then Kid Loki represents the more mischievous side. And then the new guy, Boastful Loki, is a brand new character. I hope that all made sense.
It did for sure. But what do you think that ties in? How does that tie in to the rest of, like, what the hell we've been watching with the timekeepers and female Loki and so where did Owen Wilson go? If Loki shows up there, where did Owen Wilson go?
So there's two schools of thought. One is that when you're pruned, it actually just sends you to the end of your timeline. So where you can't cause any problems to the sacred timeline. That's one idea. And the character that Owen Wilson plays, Mobius, in the comic books, Mobius is actually a clone. Like all the TVA agents look the same in the comic books. The TVA agents are all Mobius. So what they might do is have, like, a world of just Owen Wilson's, which would be a blast.
Yeah.
Or it just puts him back where he can't cause a disruption. Or the other school of thought is that's what Sylvie was doing, was she was hiding out at the end of Apocalypse's. So all of those Lokis might be the variants that united, and now they're hiding out in a planet that's about to end or has already ended. My theory is that the planet they're on is the one where Loki and Thanos succeeded, because you can see the trashed Avengers Tower in the background.
Oh, wow. All right, well, look, guys.
I have a question for Coy, and it's relevant to the conversation.
What do you got?
Coy, I have a question about Owen Wilson's character.
Okay.
At what point are Matt Dillon and Kate Hudson going to realize that this Dupree guy, you know, he's not all bad, you know? Should let him sleep on our couch for a while.
That's right.
Figure his life out.
My quandary is, she said now 3 times in the episode, but he never said it like, wow. So has Owen Wilson been messing with us the whole time?
That's right. Not once. All right. Well, the great Coy Jandrew, everybody. We wanted answers. We got answers. Thank you, Coy.
I was driving the whole time. Hopefully it made sense.
It did. Thank you, brother.
Okay. All right,
bye.
I just thought of I have no idea. And you were right. Basically, at the beginning of this review, you said that I'm not going to remember any of this anyway. Yeah. I'm not going to remember any of this anyway. But I came up with a great game.
What's that?
That I think we debut either at the end of this show. Well, we need a scorekeeper to
You and I are trying to do a Monday episode also. So.
Oh, are we?
Yeah. Okay. Remember we talked about this before
this
the show.
This did not come across my desk.
You forgot about that too?
We should do a... So take Owen Wilson, okay?
Where am I going to take?
We should do a thing where you and I go back and forth naming Owen Wilson movies that Schmoes No reviewed until somebody can't come up with a movie anymore.
Ooh, that's a good one. All right. I like that. Let's try that on the next. Let's try that on Monday.
Okay. Well, we might need to hire a scorekeeper then.
Can the audience be the scorekeeper and tell us on the next episode who got right, who got wrong?
Can
we redo it?
Yeah. Okay.
We're trying to do that.
All right.
All right, before we move on, I do want to tell you, and I'm not even joking. Mm-hmm. Like I was, and this is why I've talked to you about this before. We're on the trip, we're on the vacation, and I was like, oh,
it started to get a little gamey.
Stinks.
You use that Native deodorant.
Oh, there it is. I swear by Native. I swear by it.
His
I
bathroom
it.
Proves it. I'll post
I
pics.
I love it. This the sunscreen, everything. If you guys, if you think you know, you're. Sometimes, you know, it rains on your birthday, your coffee, it wraps around the building sometimes, the line, gas goes up 10 cents, and life can really be a stinker. The good news for you guys, you don't have to. Native has your back. Oh, my God, I love Native. Native cares about the products that you put on your body. They're all about stopping that stink, and they do it the right way. You know about Native's legendary aluminum-free deodorant? Have you tried their body wash, the toothpaste, or their brand-new mineral-based sunscreen? The sunscreen, my wife uses it on her kids, throws it to me, uses it on herself. She actually kind of bogarts it for herself. She loves it so much. They have this SPF 30 sunscreen for your face and your body. It's lightweight. It absorbs quickly, and you can choose between uncensored or coconut and pineapple. Native's on a mission to overhaul your entire hygiene routine by putting the care and self-care of products carefully made to work against odor that are made with simple ingredients and they smell great. You can get the deodorant and the body wash in amazing scents, coconut vanilla, citrus and herbal musk, lavender and rose, and more. You can build on your own personalized product bundles. You mix and match three of your favorite scents and keep them on rotation so you have something for every occasion. Stay fresh. Stay clean with Native. Go on over to nativedeo.com/SENLive. Use that promo code SENLive at checkout and get 20% off your first order. That is nativedeo.com/SENLive. Use that promo code SENLive at checkout. You get 20% off your first order. I'm telling you guys. Go and check it out. I know I feel the same way that you are when you hear this. I've tried the aluminum-free stuff. It doesn't work. This does.
Different.
You're just going to stand there like a weirdo smelling it because it smells so good before you even put it on your pits.
Wow, okay.
Dude, it's fantastic.
I enjoy it. Like I said, I like a variety of scents. I like to mix and match my my body washes.
I love it.
My colognes. Love I was it. At the gym this morning.
What'd you do? Stinking up the place?
I watched a movie. I worked out.
I could see that.
At the gym.
Okay.
And they have a couple like antiperspirant options in the locker room afterwards. And I was just thinking like, you know what? They should probably get in bed with the
absolutely
with the Native.
Native. It's so good. I love it. I swear by it. You know what else I swear by, Mark?
Ending the show?
Nope, not yet. Got to tell you about something else. We still got a little bit. We got about.
No, go ahead. I've had it.
You've known me for a while.
Too long, some would say.
I'm gonna tell you that I watched one of my favorite movies over the course of a couple of days before I left, and then I finished it off last night when I got back.
Okay.
And not Wolf of Wall Street. We know that already because we did that deep dive. This is another movie I want to do a deep dive on.
Okay.
I just watched it again recently.
Okay. I want to guess it.
Yeah, guess it.
All right. I need some sort of hint. Give me the release year.
95.
Heat.
Yes. I watched Heat.
Ooh, that's it, man. I got lucky because I easily could, if I thought about it, I could have been between Heat and Braveheart.
That's a good one, too.
Yeah.
I watched Braveheart at least a year ago.
Very long movies. 95, kind to the urinary tract.
No, but great to the great to product. Great for overall product.
Yeah.
When was the last time you have you ever seen Heat? I feel like you still haven't. You have seen it. When was the last time you saw it?
But it is definitely one of those movies where you watch it in like 40-minute increments
over a
week.
It's a great movie. And there's only...
Al Pacino's a little ridiculous.
He is the most quotable thing in that entire
movie. He's very quotable. Did I say he wasn't quotable?
He's sitting there with Tone Loc, and he says to him, he goes, man, I get killed for telling you this shit. You get killed walking your doggy.
Yeah.
And like the stuff, he goes, give me all you got! Give me a hang on! And he's just slamming on. He's yelling. They use one of my favorite names in that movie.
Great ass.
Names. He walks in. And
hey, here comes great ass.
He's having this problem with his wife. It's because his wife's like, you're never present. You're never here.
I'm totally on the wife's team.
And
here.
by the time he gets there, he walks in and she's just been. He doesn't walk in on them doing it, but she just been banging some dude, right? Yeah. Guy has no idea she's married, poor guy, right? But he's Xander.
Don't be that guy.
What's his name? Xander.
Figure it out.
You know his name, the actor, character actor, Xander.
Xander Berkeley?
Yes.
From 24?
Yes. And that's who he is. And he's sitting there. And so it's a name that I use quite often when I'm naming people or goofing around.
Ralph?
His name is Ralph.
Is it Ralph?
His name is Ralph.
Ralph is the perfect name for the schlub who didn't know you.
He had no idea. And he goes, Ralph, sit down! Screams at Ralph. And Ralph is like, oh. And he's like, you can come in here. You can bang my wife and her husband's ex art deco, whatever, but you cannot watch my TV. He's screaming at him. Everything inside the movie is so great.
He is as much Al Pacino in Jack and Jill as he is Al Pacino from Godfather 2.
He's not to the extent. He won an Oscar
3 years prior for hoo-ah-ing his way to the stage at the now Dolby Theater. So I think that planted the DNA in his head for the rest of that decade. Is like, I'm just going big.
He goes big. He goes big in this movie. There's no doubt about it. But he has he's got a lot of soft moments too. And
one of my favorite moments that actually shows what a genius he is as a cop is when they were all spying on the guys, and the guys were meeting at that big like dock sort of situation, and then they leave, and so then the guys come down and they're like, we're trying to piece it together, and then Pacino pieces it together and he figures it out.
You know what they're looking at? What? Oh, are these guys good or are they good? You know what they're looking at? What? Us.
Yep.
All right, motherfucker. he's going back and forth and he's looking up, and then De Niro just gives him that smile from up top when he's taking the picture of him. It's so good.
And the coffee scene is the famous one.
Oh, yeah.
But also when he pulls him over.
He pulls him over. That's the first one. He's just like, you want to get coffee? Yeah, all right.
And didn't I hear something like the coffee scene? They actually filmed that, and they didn't film it on the same day.
No, they filmed it on the same day together. Oh, okay. You mean? Yeah,
I thought it was like they used a double for each one for whatever reason, so it wasn't actually them.
No, they were there. They were there together.
They're together.
Yeah, they're together.
You've seen the movie a few more times than I have.
Yeah, but there's a few scenes that there's only one scene though to me that I don't necessarily know if it needed to be in the movie. Like if there was a. So do you remember the bad guy's name? The main bad guy, like the whole reason they get him involved in the crew.
So you mean the guy, not Robert De Niro?
De Niro is Neil McCauley, but he's got his tight crew. He's got Val Kilmer, Danny Trejo. Those are like his set guys in the beginning. In the first,
and he has a
and he brings in a dude.
He's got Serrano too.
Yeah, but that's because Trejo can't show up.
You're in good hands.
Right, because Trejo can't show up. But he, the president for 24.
Yeah.
But
President Palmer.
That's right. So, no, the guy's name with the long hair that looks like he's everybody you and I have ever.
Oh, John Voight.
No, John Voight does have long hair in that, but no, he's the one, he's part of their crew. Okay. Wangro is the guy. Wangro.
Right.
Wangro causes all the shit.
Who plays Wangro?
The guy's name, he escapes me, but the guy was married to Kelly Preston, late great Kelly Preston, for a little bit. This guy, I had no idea.
Really?
Yeah, I was on Amazon Prime watching it
before Johnny.
Yeah, way before. But yeah, so he was. Wangro is the character, but Wangro winds up leaving the crew because he fucks up, and they try to kill him, and he gets away. Right.
Right. Right.
But there's one scene where he's out like killing prostitutes, and he kills this one prostitute, and then Pacino gets called to go investigate it, and the mother comes out and she's like, find my baby, find this. It has nothing to do with the overall story. This is a Wingro's a bad dude. We know that already. And
it's just solidifying how evil he is.
Yeah, and it has nothing to do with the overall plot of the story. Unless I'm missing something, but like,
you've seen the movie enough.
But it doesn't track. It doesn't, like, they don't track him for doing that. They don't track. It's like, it just like adds into the shit that Pacino has to do, and the reason why he comes back, that he's got to get into another argument with his wife at the time. But it's like,
Kevin Gage is the guy's
Kevin
name.
Gage is Wingro.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
Hank Azaria's in it.
Natalie Portman. But the
Natalie
scene,
Portman
but,
shows up.
But the scene with Pacino and Portman, when Natalie Portman tries to off herself in the bathtub, like that is such a, like that moment.
I remember none of that.
Well, that's one moment that's tough to watch. The other scene that is very hard to watch in that movie now, the bank scene, right? You know the classic bank scene when they're shooting in the streets. So when he's when they're leaving and De Niro sets it up in the diner, he's like, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get the fuck away from you, right? And he does because Pacino's coming after him, and he's firing. They're at a grocery store in the parking lot, and he's firing away. Yeah. This movie came out 4 years before Columbine.
Right, right.
So that kind of shit wasn't really going on the way that every night on the nightly news today, there's
shooting. A lot of those
that are. Shit ain't getting filmed today.
No, a lot of those are tough to watch. I don't know if you remember this. I can't remember which shooting incident, unfortunately, because there's so many now. Right. During the Bourne, the
Jack Reacher,
the Jeremy Renner Bourne movie.
Oh, yes.
There's a scene in the lab felt very similar to what we had seen on the news the night before, and it just takes you out of it. And that might have also been compounded by the fact that it was that production company who's now changed it to a whip.
Right. The gun and the coffee.
It opens up.
Right.
It's just I think it's Will Ferrell's production company.
It was. Yeah, they changed it. Yeah. They changed it. But watching that, I've seen that movie, Mark, so many different times.
You always seem to get something new out of it.
But that was the first time I've ever watched that movie and felt like, ooh, it's harder to watch today. That scene was harder to watch today than it was all the other times I've seen the movie because it was fantasy and it wasn't real.
And the gun sounds in that movie are so loud. I can't imagine seeing that in a theater.
I did see that in the theater.
Because that just must have overwhelmed your eardrums.
I fell in love with that movie when I saw it in the theater. It is an incredible, incredible film. It's the only scene that after watching it last night that I thought didn't need to be in the movie was the scene was that whole angle with Wayne Grove killing the prostitutes. It just has nothing to do with it.
You get a lot of the LA landscape in there.
You do.
You get a lot of what LA actually looks like.
100%. It is absolutely that type of thing. But look, this is an episode of The Big Thing. Mark Ellis. Christian Harloff here.
He's not going to rave about this one on Twitter, folks.
I will. I absolutely will because it was a fun discussion.
To be honest.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You're going to come over and you're going to have a drink when we do a couple beers one. Those are going to be like this. It was rowdy. Like it was a good episode to do it to because it was Wolf of Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
So like I didn't have like I knew I was going to have
to. It's impossible to talk about that movie without dropping some F-bombs.
F-bombs, but also how well do you remember Wolf of Wall Street?
Pretty well.
Okay. So doing that show was as if I was Shea Whigham trying to control the boat, as it and you got two people asking for the lewds over here, and the one who was already might as well been on lewds.
Yeah.
So I'm like steering it, trying to go back on the water as we're doing it, and I kept getting back there, but then I also didn't want to. The beauty of Wolf of Wall Street is let it go a little crazy, let it go a little nuts, and that's what that show was, and I think that's why it was so much fun.
I have two favorite scenes I can think of off the top of my head in Wolf of Wall Street. The one is just the Jim Carrey level physical comedy of DiCaprio trying to get either in it or out of the car. I can't remember what he's doing.
He's trying to roll into the car from the country club.
It's so good. But the other one that I actually loved, and again, there's so many great scenes in that movie. This is one I'm thinking of now, is when Kyle Chandler's agent character approaches him on the boat, and they're having that like we're being cordial,
you just try to bribe federal agents?
It's so well done.
Yes. It is. go fuck yourself.
You gotta go back. That's one of those movies that will suck me in for the rest of it.
I'm gonna go have Dominique lick caviar off my ball so you guys go off the thing.
Just throwing the money at him.
Yeah, we went and Jonah Hill is just crushing it.
Rob Reiner is so good in that too. Just befuddled trying to keep the ship tight.
I have to tell you, this is why I love doing this show now as opposed to trying to keep up with everything current. I get to go back and revisit all this other shit and trying to stay up. I'm with Beverly Hills Cop and Rocky Balboa and Heat. I'm going through all these old movies and talking about them again. Like, I don't know, man. I'm turning into my dad. It's like, you kids don't have the movies like you used to when I was around. I was like, I really am. I'm turning into my dad because like some of the newer movies, I don't know, they're just not hitting with me.
Go back and watch Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. We'll do a deep dive on that.
I would love to.
I don't have to rewatch that movie. It's
why not?
I know it that well.
Yeah, but you wouldn't. We should do a deep dive on Red Dawn. How much did you watch Red Dawn?
I watched about 20 minutes of it.
Did you get to my favorite part? The avenge me, boys.
I did. Yeah.
It's the best.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Make me kind of want to go out in the woods and build a fort.
Absolutely. Been doing some deep dive on Patrick Swayze lately too. Dirty Dancing I watched recently again with the wife.
You'd be hard pressed to replicate a run that good.
So good.
From Dirty Dancing to Roadhouse, to Next of Kin, to Ghost. Yeah. Red Dawn was before Dirty Rule Dancing, but and you could pepper that in there. But then he did Point Break.
Yes, he did a movie called Steel Dawn. Do you remember that?
Steel Dog?
Dawn. Steel Dawn. He was, and he was, it was like a futuristic kind of post-apocalyptic
I've never seen it.
I was a big Patrick Swayze fan because of that run that you just mentioned.
Yeah.
And I saw it because of that. It was, I haven't seen it in years. I'm sure it's terrible, but I remember loving it when I was a kid.
They did a fan casting in Electronic Gaming Monthly.
For Steel Dawn?
For the Street Fighter movie. Oh. Before the Street Fighter movie even announced, they did like a who would we want to have play who?
Yeah.
And Van Damme was in it. As Vega. They cast him as Vega. Wow. Okay. And I think that's partially the hard target, the long hair.
Yeah.
And they had Patrick Swayze as Ken. And I'm like, that is dynamite casting.
Absolutely
right
is. Speaking of Ken, I got to do this before we leave. I got to try.
You going to call him?
I got to try. I got to ask him why he was there. Now, do we think he's going to pick up? Probably not, right? Let me try.
I think he.
At this point, I'm going to say no. My guess of why he was there was Riley must have convinced him to go see it because they were covering it on the show.
I honestly think he just wanted to go out and see a motion picture. Yeah.
No, but he doesn't go to see those movies.
Go that much anymore.
But he didn't go when life was normal to go.
Not
going to
know. He's not going to pick up.
He might. We'll find out in a second. He might because he was telling me about the chocolates and stuff inside of
in Solvang.
In Carmel. No, he was telling me, where was he? It was Chocolates and Solvang.
The whole town is named Carmel. Yeah,
he's not picking up.
Oh, you should have left it.
The message?
Don't call him back. But I don't know. I wish I could give everybody Knapsack's number just so they could call it.
That.
So he wouldn't answer. His voicemail leave is the most prototypical Ken Knapsack voicemail leave.
Can't talk.
Ken Knapsack, can't talk, leave it. Yeah. It's just so beleaguered, 1990s.
You've always loved it.
I just saw Singles.
Yes, it's just good.
I love grunge rock.
You know what I want to talk to you about on Monday? Do you remember Strange Magic?
This is what he does, by the way, because he's trying to rope me into coming back.
I know, but do you remember Strange Magic?
The George Lucas fantasy animated film? Yes. Yeah.
You remember us not really liking it that much?
I thought it was okay. You didn't like it.
I'd like to go back and watch that review. I think that movie was ahead of its time. It's also maybe because I've heard the soundtrack now 1,000 times.
The kiddo's watching it?
My 3.5-year-old is obsessed with it. If I have to hear
Dragons, man.
Fucking Kristen Chenoweth sing one more time, I'm going to lose my mind. But you're not going to hear me lose my mind on this show.
Wait, why is it ahead of its time?
Because I think the biggest problem we had with that movie.
That you had?
I think you had a problem too. We're going to watch the review. Was the music that of them taking modern or popular music and using it as if it was part of the legend, the atmosphere, the storytelling.
I'm going to go out on a limb. You folks at home can watch the Strange Magic review. I'm going to say that was a you problem.
It might be.
And
might
I bet I compared it to A Knight's Tale.
I have to go. Maybe you did, but I have to go and check that out because I remember not having that problem with Trolls, and Trolls was very successful.
Yeah.
And Trolls had a much better reaction.
Strange Magic didn't do much.
Didn't do very well. It's not a bad movie. It's not a bad movie.
Thank
but
you.
We'll talk.
Trying to tell the guy this for
we'll talk
six
a little
years.
Bit. And maybe again, it's because I have kids. But we'll talk a little bit more about it.
My kids
on Monday, but not right now, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for us to get the hell out of here. I wanted to thank you, thank Mark Ellis, thank all of you for joining us. Don't forget Apple Podcasts, Spotify. That is the way you help us out on these shows. So head on over to Apple Podcasts. Link is in the description. Follow us on Spotify. Download these episodes. If you like this, I'm really, really blown away by the positive responses and all the comments that you've been leaving. But that's how you support the show. And don't forget, SEN is going to be on at 10 a.m., 12, right after this show. You go to the brand new channel. It is the SEN channel. Link is in the description. Head on over there, subscribe to the new channel, support them. That is how you interact. Schmobots, Streamlabs, all of it. Thank you guys so very much. See you next time.